and that is Christians One and All Rejoice. I'm Tom Baker, back in the saddle after gone for two program sessions. And with us, because it's Tuesday, Ruminations Tuesday, we have back also in the saddle, because he wasn't here last week, is the Reverend Mark Smith.
Yes, Tom, how you doing? Back in the saddle, huh? Where'd you pick up that expression?
I watch a lot of John Wayne movies. Yeah.
Let's see, there's a song, Back in the Saddle Again, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not into Western. Yeah, I was gone to Wisconsin, left Thursday. We had a pastoral meeting where we were talking about shock and aha sermons, and they really enjoyed that. And then I did a Bible study, a sermon, a two-hour seminar.
Two-hour seminar, huh?
Yeah, at a church.
And what was the attendance by the time it was finished?
Oh, we started with like 300, and then we got down to two people because my wife can't leave, and me. At the end of the seminar, we said, anybody like to come over to, we were with friends, to their home, and they filled all the chairs at the home.
No kidding.
Oh, and we thought we'd go about an hour. We went 2 hours and 10 minutes. They just had question after question, and these are Lutherans, but, you know, my understanding is a Lutheran layperson is like me when I worked at the hospital. I was an orderly. I don't do heart surgery. I take care of bedpans, you know, and so I'm really ignorant of medicine, but I can learn it, as many people do, and become doctors. So it was just one item after another. In fact, we're going to kind of follow it up tomorrow on Insight Wednesday. I've already done the promo, and here it is. What denomination do the scriptures seem to contradict more than any other?
I believe you said the Lutherans.
And that's right.
I think you said that about a week ago.
Yes. But I'm going to give more evidence for that, because it also helps us understand why there are different denominations. The other denominations, they don't like the contradictions, and so they just take a different point of view. You know, like, I'll just give you a real quick one. It says in the Bible that on Judgment Day, you're going to be judged by whether you're good or bad.
Yeah, Second Corinthians. Matthew,
no, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians. And
Matthew 25 kind of sometimes gives that
impression.
But
it doesn't say that.
No.
Not that clearly.
No.
But you're right, because you're going to heaven because you did this, did that. So Roman Catholics believe you're saved by faith plus works.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their view. Faith and works.
And my whole point is, the reason you have different denominations is they don't have the proper understanding of law and gospel. It's law and gospel that unravels those contradictions, and as Peter Kurowski did so well in Seduction of Extremes, changes them into paradoxes.
That's right. Without distinguishing law and gospel, the Bible does seem to be filled with contradictions.
That's right.
Law and gospel clears that up.
And it's like a closed book.
Right.
And you just
right
never,
out of Walther.
Never start. Walther, who's Walther? Oh, yes, CFW Walther. I think he was... I tried to get him for Friday, but he wasn't available, so it was just a repeat broadcast.
I've had about three direct descendants of C.F.W. Walther in my congregation.
Yeah, I know you did. You had a great-great-grandfather, or great-great-grandson.
Carl Walther.
Yeah,
and he actually looked like him.
Yes, I know. He and I were really good friends. We used to drive together to various meetings in the old days,
I remember that.
A lot of controversy in this.
And I've still got two direct descendants of Walther.
Really?
In my congregation.
Wow.
Yes.
And isn't it a little frustrating when you're doing a sermon, they've got Law and Gospel open and they're checking it out? Is Pastor Smith doing Law and Gospel? Will you please read the first stanza of Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, who just so happened, this has been written by...
Martin Luther.
Yes.
Oh, it's one of my favorite hymns from him. Yes, hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, with exaltation springing, and with united heart and voice and holy rapture singing, proclaim the wonders God has done, how his right arm the victory won, what price our ransom cost him.
Okay, so right away we have a contradiction. It looks like Luther believes in the rapture.
I thought you were going to make some comment on that.
Yeah.
This is the holy rapture. This is holy rapture.
Okay.
This type of rapture is okay.
Now remember, part of the goal of us going over the hymns is we're encouraging, if you have children, to do so prior to the worship service. Phone the church around Wednesday. They usually figure out the hymns by then, or Thursday, and then study them with your children. So how would, with your kids, how would you define the word rapture properly here?
Well, here, I think it's talking about how it lifts our spirits.
Yes. You know,
rapture, is the Greek word rapteo, to be taken up. And here it's talking about our spirits lifted, uplifted, like... Well, we are uplifted when we hear the gospel.
That's right.
That's the point of that line.
Holy because rapture. It's with rapture singing and holy rapture singing, which is great joy.
Yeah, we're uplifted.
That's right. And so the first stanza doesn't really have too much theology, except that the reason we go to a worship service is to proclaim the wonders God has done. And what price our ransom cost him. You know, we're not going to get through this hymn. Why?
Well, there's 10 verses,
yeah.
10 stanzas.
And there's one thing about Lutheran hymnody that I really like. It's a mini sermon.
Yes, it is. That's why a lot of times we hate to leave out stanzas of the hymn, because it's like cutting out part of the sermon.
I remember we were at a pastoral conference and things were running late, so the hymns, they cut out the stanza. And so on A Mighty Fortress, they said, we'll just sing verse 1. And at the end of verse 1, a fellow said, we can't end on verse 1 because you know how it ends.
Yeah, let's see.
On
it's,
earth
it's about the devil.
Is not
his equal. It's,
yes.
It's talked about Satan.
Yes. On earth is not his equal.
Amen.
Amen. And the pastor said, no, we got to go at least to verse 2. And we had an interesting one on Sunday, and I incorporated it into the sermon when I saw it. We sang verse 1, then we sang verse 7, then we sang verse 3.
Oh, that's...
Yes.
Yeah, I know what hymn that is. That is For All the Faithful Women?
No.
That hymn is that way.
It's one of the martyr hymns,
yeah.
though. And
uh-huh.
all the verses talk about a different martyr. This week, by the way, was Stephen.
Uh-huh, St. Stephen, right.
Yeah,
the first,
Sunday.
First martyr.
And so I looked at that and I said, well, that's odd, until I looked it up. And then I saw verse 1 is the beginning, verse 7. And then for the next verse, it says, please choose the proper stanza that follows dealing with the proper martyr.
Right, right.
And then we sang the one on Stephen, and then we went back to verse 3.
Sure.
Which concluded
it. I know what
it.
You're talking about, yes.
But that was kind of interesting. I thought maybe they meant hymn 173 rather than verses 1, 7, and 3. But it was a good singing congregation. Stanza 2, and here we get into the sermon. Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day, and sin my mother bore me. But daily deeper still I fell, my life became a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me.
Now, it sounds like Luther talking about his experience before he discovered the gospel.
Well, it is Luther.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, he's really describing the,
yes.
you know, the torment that he went through.
And so we tell our children not to swear. So you have to tell them that the word hell here is actually speaking about a condition where we're separated from God.
Right.
It's not talking about the hell that exists, the place, but a condition that we go through because of our sin. The other thing I love about Lutheran hymnody, it always is looking to Bible verses. They're reflected in the hymn. Which Bible verse is this one? I'll read it to you. In sin my mother bore me.
Oh,
where did
Psalm
you get that
from? Psalm 51, verse 5.
Very good. Yes.
In sin did my mother conceive me, right.
And that was David?
David's psalm. It's a very penitential psalm.
Yes, yes. Which is kind of interesting that you would think that what maybe he's talking about, his mother was, you know, accosted or something. It was a sinful concept. No.
No, it means that we are sinners from the moment of our conception.
That's right.
We're sinners even when we're in the womb.
This is a big distinction I was making this weekend about law that only Lutherans kind of really teach. That when God says it's his law, That means it's his will. Everybody agrees with that. Number two, we're to do it perfectly, and everybody agrees with that. But for Lutherans, perfect means from conception on.
That's right.
But for everybody else, a lot of them, it means from today on.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so every now and then we'll actually get a caller here who thinks that they don't sin anymore, which is a sin in itself. And by the way, if you'd like to call, we'll give out the numbers, even though we have 10 stanzas. 821-0850 in the St. Louis area and in North America.
1-800-730-2727.
And we're looking, we do want to stay on point on the hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. But as I said, stanza two, fast bound in Satan's chains I lay. So how do we regard a baptism?
As plucking us out of those chains.
Yes. It's almost a spiritual exorcism.
That's right. Yes.
We don't want to confuse it with a person possessed, and right. that can be, but we are part of his kingdom.
Well, that's right. Why the baptism, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes. Luther is very interesting. Sin is the problem, but daily deeper still I fell. It's a thing I like talking about, that some people will say, I'm better this week than I was last week. That shows me they don't understand sin.
No.
That the attitude that God wants you to have concerning sin is best summarized in Romans 7.
Yeah, it's like the publican in the temple. God be merciful to me, a sinner.
That's right.
The more mature a Christian is, the more he realizes how much he depends upon his Savior.
Exactly. And until you get to that point, then you really haven't heard properly the law. And proper understanding of the law doesn't get you just to be concerned about your sin. It actually gets you to the point where you are terrified of God. If that's not what a sermon does, if you don't get the people terrified of God, you're in trouble. That's why I have these shock and aha sermons, because I always kind of start the sermon with a question that gets them mixed up, you know, right away.
Do you think our pastors are doing that job adequately these days? I mean,
I don't
bringing people to their knees like that. Do you think we're doing that well enough, or are we kind of skimping on the law a little bit?
Well, it's so easy to skimp on the law.
Because don't want to harangue our people, you know.
Well, when I go around, I don't hear many pastors preaching because I'm doing the preaching. That's why I go around to these churches. But I often will listen on the radio. And evangelical sermons are always this way. In fact, a lot of times when you hear the law from an evangelical pastor, that means somebody who believes in decision theology, the people are applauding him because he's talking about folks outside the congregation.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and what you need to do is kill the people inside the congregation. Now, the way I did it was with this question. I asked them to think of, the Bible verse was really a tough one. Jesus says, anytime you ask in my name, I will do it. So I said, can you think of two occasions when God did not answer your prayer? And I want you to think of them, and I gave them some time to do it, and everybody's thinking of it. And when they were done, I said, well, if you thought of one occasion when God didn't answer your prayer, then you don't understand God. They're all looking at me, whoops. So here they have mental paper with 40 times God didn't answer their prayer. And then we talked about the different answers. God always answers prayer.
Right.
But sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says...
wait.
Yeah, and some people think he says maybe.
Yeah, no, I would say he always answers. So
yes.
Sometimes wait. Or he answers it in his own best way.
And so I ended up showing them that God always answers yes. He always answers yes. And that was a correction a woman did on the radio here, phoning me. She said, Pastor, he always says yes. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, there's only two kinds of prayer, she says. If you pray for something he promises, then you just ask, and he does it. And if he prays for something that he doesn't promise, you always add, if it be your will.
If it be thy will.
And to both prayers, God says, yes, I will deliver my promise, or yes, it will be according to my will.
Right, that's right.
It's always
you
a yes.
You can't go wrong.
No, you can't go wrong. And he answers instantaneously. We're going to go to the phone lines right now, and our numbers are 821-0850 or
1-800-730-2727.
Hello, David. You're on the yes, air. Sir. How can we help you?
I'm on the air. I'm floating high now.
Oh, you are. Yeah, well, on long gospel.
It's holy rapture.
Yeah, you're almost at the right hand of God. Yes. Okay.
Got a question pertaining to the person with you. I don't know his name.
Mark Smith.
Okay. He said about a child, he was even a sinner in his mother's womb.
Yes.
Okay. Now, my question is Luke 1, 15, speaking of John the Baptizer, he said, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Now, how can a baby, how could John the Baptizer, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, even while he was in his mother's womb, be a sinner?
Well, no, it says, in sin did my mother conceive me. In fact, this is why, sadly, some infants die in the womb. The wages of sin is death. And for that reason, sometimes infants die even in the womb.
Now, his specific question is if David was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this, David.
John the Baptizer.
John the Baptizer. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit?
Well, I don't know. Some people say you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
They're wrong. We believe, teach, and confess what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, that Peter says when you are baptized, you get two gifts. The one is the forgiveness of sins, and the other is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you had a Trinitarian baptism?
Yes, I have.
Then you are filled with the Holy
That's
Spirit.
Right.
Now let me ask you my second question. Are you a sinner?
I am a sinner, yeah.
You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit does not negate that you are a sinner. And it was not at his conception that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It occurred
when Mary came to visit
Elizabeth,
John the Baptist's mother.
Yes. So being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you become sinless. It means that God regards you as sinless because your sins are forgiven. But if John the Baptizer didn't have any sins, then he wasn't a human being. Okay. So being filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean that you don't sin anymore.
Yeah, the only reason I asked the question was because I knew there were certain creatures, like 2/3 of the angels never sinned. 1/3 fell away after Satan, but 2/3 never sinned. Jesus never sinned.
Right.
Some people say Mary never sinned.
Well,
so, I disagree with that.
Well, that can't be because she herself
says, "And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior."
Right. I just threw that in because that's what some people say. Mm-hmm. But
well, who else never sinned? At least for a while, Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve never sinned.
In the Garden of Eden, until they sinned.
Until they fell.
Yeah. And guess what? You will receive a new body after Judgment Day, and you will never sin. You will never even want to sin. That's hardly... We can't understand that. That's why we live by faith, not by sight.
Okay. Very interesting.
Thank you very much for calling. And that's the reason you call Law and Gospel, or you call anything here, and that is in order to find interesting things and be comforted. That's the main goal of every sermon. I always like telling them something they don't know, and the way I figure that out is I keep studying the text until I find something I didn't know. And then, except for the 6 professors who were members of my congregation, nobody else knew it. Yeah, I had Charlemagne and Rosine and Klotz and Manteuffel.
Did that make you nervous, preaching?
No, not at all. Because when I was preaching, I would take Charlemagne's class and then just repeat what he said. And so I knew he would be nodding yes.
I tell you, I'd be nervous all the time if I had Dr. Charlemagne in my congregation.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
He's a wonderful Christian man.
Yeah, he really was. Fallen asleep in Jesus now. But I would also have him do Bible studies. because every pastor has a different way of getting the thing across. I said at the seminars this weekend, I said, look, I'm not going to say anything your pastor hasn't already told you, but I'm just moving it from your heart to your head in a way that you may not have heard of it before. And I do that with the law and gospel kinds of things. Let's go back to the phone lines, and let's talk with Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I was listening to you talking about John the Baptist, and I'm just quoting this from the top of my head, but it says that there was no man born of a woman greater than John, but the least in the kingdom of heaven are greater than John. What does that mean?
Okay, you want to...
Well, I would say John is... He's like he's got one foot in the Old Testament and one in the New. Mm-hmm. He is privileged to be the forerunner of the Christ, and from the sense of privilege, he's certainly great. He's a sinner just like everybody else, but he's the forerunner of the Christ.
Yeah, the way I would put it is he was the greatest because we don't know of anybody else who was filled with the Spirit in the womb.
In the womb.
Yet, every believer has the Holy Spirit in the same way that John the Baptizer got it. So you are just as great as John the Baptizer, Mike, if you are a Christian.
Well, wait a minute, but why is the least in the kingdom of heaven greater than John the Baptist when Jesus said that? How would you explain that part?
The least in the kingdom of heaven would mean maybe the Christian who really doesn't bring forth as much fruit of the Holy Spirit as someone else does. And so God alone knows that. But remember, even a little mustard seed of faith gives you perfection in the sight of God. So even the least of the Christians, the most weak of the Christians, are considered as saints in God's eyes.
Yeah, but are they greater than John the Baptist?
Oh, they're greater than John the Baptist in that John the Baptist never had the baptism of Pentecost.
Yeah, we are more privileged than John the Baptist.
Yes, we are.
Now I understand.
We partake of the Lord's body and blood. John the Baptist...
Oh, yeah, that's another good point.
John the Baptist, of course, did not live to see the cross.
Or the resurrection.
Or the crucifixion or resurrection.
Yeah.
We are privileged to look back on these things.
So I really appreciate the call, Mike. We're just running out of a little bit of time here. We have 2 minutes, and we only have 8 verses to do. Can you do
you
all
want me to read one? Three? Which
no,
one?
No. The one I think would be really good is verse 7. This is where you get the comfort.
Yes, I love this verse. To me, he said. Now, this is Jesus talking.
Yes.
To the sinner.
Right.
To me, he said, stay close to me. I am your rock and castle. Your ransom, I myself will be. For you, I strive and wrestle. For I am yours and you are mine. And where I am, you may remain. The foe shall not divide us. No, nobody.
The promise you get here is, who's the foe?
The foe, of course, is the old evil foe, Satan.
Very good.
And as Paul tells us in Romans 8, nothing shall pluck us out of God's hand.
As he says, stay close to me.
Right.
Okay, how do we stay close to Jesus since we can't see him? He's not visible to us. What does that mean?
If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Well said. So you have in worship.
Right.
That's why they call
it... The Word and Sacrament.
That's right, the Word and Sacrament, and the means of grace whereby God delivers to you every week the comfort of the gospel. Here's what I said to the congregation. Don't be coming to church in order to get to heaven. That would be idolatry.
That's shock.
Yeah, that's shock. I say,
that,
yeah.
That'll shock people.
And if you give more money to church because you want more blessings, that's idolatry. You're already being blessed as much as God is going to be blessing you. There's nothing more that God can do to save you more, any more than an adopted child at 1 month can be more of a member of the family. They get more benefits and such, but that doesn't make them more adopted or more of a member of the family. And that's also the same with you folks. So you come to church in order to receive the comfort that you need. Because apart from word and sacrament, you've got a messy life. You know, the law is not only recognizing you're not obeying the commandments. The law also takes place with the rustling of a leaf. And the example I use is that Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they heard God coming into the garden by a rustling of a leaf, and they got really scared. So the law comes in many ways. When's your services?
Yeah, 5 o'clock Saturday evening, 5 p.m. Saturday evening, and also Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
Thank you very much, Pastor Mark Smith, and he'll be back with us next Tuesday, God willing. Till then, tomorrow, Law and Gospel, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.